In the summer and fall of 2002, a series of warnings were issued inside the military establishment about the right and wrong ways to approach Iraq. Most of these appear to have been ignored, mainly because the Bush administration tended not to listen to people outside a small circle of insiders. On August 26, the same day that Cheney effectively launched the march to war with his No Doubt speech to the VFW, a group of Army commanders and other top service officials met at the Army War College's bucolic campus on the outskirts of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to review, among other things, the Central Command's middling performance in the Afghan campaign. The meeting concluded that major errors had been committed in the conduct of that offensive, especially in the handling of the larger strategic issues. This conclusion was meant to be descriptive of what had happened in the previous year, but it would also prove accurate in predicting what would go wrong in the handling of the Iraq War. The first major criticism on which the participants agreed was that the Afghan situation had been marred by the excessively short-term approach of top defense leaders. This problem of a tactical focus that ignores long-term objectives was especially notable at Central Command, said an internal Army memo that summarized the meeting's conclusions and that has never been released. As Sean Naylor of the Army Times later pointed out, Franks failed to grasp in waging the Afghan war that taking the enemy's capital wasn't the same as winning the war, a conceptual error he would repeat in Iraq. But the problem extended beyond that, and thus those meeting at the Army War College laid it at the feet of Rumsfeld and the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Air Force General Richard Myers, who took over just before the Afghan war began. All participants at the conference from all commands complained about the problems caused by a lack of clear higher direction, the summary emphasized. A more specific grievance was the insistence of the Pentagon on not using established deployment plans for units, and instead sending them out piecemeal. Headquarters have had to utilize scores of individual requests for forces to build organization in key theaters instead of formal tit-fiddle, another Army report on the meeting stated. Back then, this complaint about messing with the painstakingly developed TPFDL, an awkward acronym that military types pronounce tip-fiddle, and which stands for Time-Phased Force Deployment List, seemed minor, even obscure, but it would grow into an angry chorus in the Army during the invasion and occupation of Iraq, as it caused endless turmoil and confusion. The pernicious effect of these grab-bag augmentations is to create headquarters staffs with little experience or cohesion, the second report stated. One conference participant described the situation as playing the Super Bowl with a pickup team. Most ominously, the report warned that by overburdening undertrained staffs, the resulting turmoil especially undercut the military's ability to develop effective long-range plans. In November, Major General James Mattis, the commander of the 1st Marine Division, which would spend much of the next 2 years in Iraq, invited General Zinni to be the speaker at the division's Marine Corps birthday dinner, the most important day of the year for the Corps. On the afternoon before the dinner, Mattis had Zinni speak to all his senior commanders. "If you guys don't go through the enemy in 6 weeks, we'll disown you," Zinni said, according to Mattis. "But then the hard work begins. We have lit a fuse and we don't know what's at the other end, a nuke, a hand grenade, or a dud."